Good evening. Tonight, I'm going to teach a lesson I don't think we've heard too much over the years, or maybe I hadn't ever noticed. And the lesson tonight is on the Holy Spirit is a person. And I just can't remember all these years of hearing too much about it. So I thought I would teach about it. There's many more things we can teach about the Holy Spirit, but I think this is the first place to start. I've done some research on him, and there's at least, you could say, probably get at least 38 sermons or more out of all the things the Holy Spirit does. There is a lot of knowledge and a lot about him, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Tonight, the Holy Spirit, the basis of this lesson is in John 16, 13, and 14, and we read, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all things. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine, and I will disclose it to you." We ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? We should all know who he is. We should know his nature, his essence, his ministry, his relation to Christ, his relation to us. And most of all, we should study everything the Bible reveals about him. We should clear away all superstition and tradition and let the Bible reveal just what it says about him. He is a divine person. He is called the Spirit of God. It is a grievous sin against the Holy Spirit to refuse or deny what the Bible teaches about the personality of the Holy Spirit. To deny what the New Testament teaches on his personality is to deny the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's much confusion and superstition about the Holy Spirit in the minds of people, and even amongst some of my brethren. And over the years, I've heard them say things. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I thought, did they really say that? Well, anyhow, if we look to the Bible, we'll clear up most of the superstition and tradition and the ignorance that's been taught over the years, especially in our denominational friends, a lot of things they have taught. And the Bible will clear that up. The Bible is not responsible for a vague mysticism which they ascribe to the Holy Spirit. The ignorance of the personality of the Holy Spirit belongs to the religious teachers that have not sought to present it in a clear and definite way which God teaches it. It is freely and frankly admitted that there is a profound mystery that belongs to the Holy Spirit. However, there is a simple side to the Holy Spirit and his work we should seek to understand. First, he is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is not a glorified it. It is a grievous blunder of ignorance to pray to God for it to come to us. It doesn't make sense. Neither is the Holy Spirit merely an influence. It's not an impersonal or a vague force released in response to a human need. To direct, to influence the mind, disposition of saint or sinner. The Holy Spirit is far more than that. He is the mind and temper and the disposition of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not the Bible. He is not the Word. He's not the New Testament. He is a divine being. It's always referred to him as he. He vitalizes the truth sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no such thing as an impersonal God. That is a contradiction of terms. If there be a God, he must be a person. And persons involve possessions of personal qualities and attributes. There can be no such qualities unless there be commerce between persons. There can be no love if there's no one to love. There can be no trust without someone to trust. There can be no one to treat with honor if there's no one there. And there can be no sympathy for anyone if there's no one to sympathize with. Or no one to show reverence if there's no one there. This is not only true with humans, but this is also true with divine revelations. The very being is truly and fully personal of God necessitates possession of a person, personal qualities. Can that thrive only between communion of divine beings? The personality of the Holy Spirit necessitates personal attributes. Now, if a person of a solitary deity would have no associates with to communicate and exercise these attributes. You remember when Christ was here on earth, he talked about the other two parts of the Godhead. He referred to them. And so we turn in, get my notes. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." In John 15:26, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." One thing we know, and what I'm fixing to say is really a mouthful. He refers to the Spirit of truth 9 times. He uses the personal pronoun, masculine gender, and singular in number. He refers to him 9 times. Now, a person has life, he has thought, he has volition, he has action, individuality, and he has influence. And the Holy Spirit has all these attributes. He lives, he wills, he acts. He has individuality, he has a particular character, and he possesses influence. He has life, he gives life. And he's always spoken of God in Christ in singular number. And he also talks about giving life in Galatians 6:8. "For the one who sows his own flesh will reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life." Also, it talks about in Genesis 1:2, where he moved upon the waters when the earth was formless and void. When the word formless means that the elements that God had created had been not put together, the mountains, the hills, and the land, and all the things. And when we talk about void, is there was no beings yet to be on earth. As we see, he had part in the creation. He is part of the Godhead. He has the same nature and essence of God in Christ, since they are divine personages, and of the Holy Spirit must all be considered. The New Testament speaks of the Holy Spirit as having attributes to the other members of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has a mind. In Romans 8:27, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." On the day of Pentecost, he empowered the apostles, Apostle Peter, to speak the first gospel sermon in Acts 2:1-18. He inspired at different times Peter, James, John, and Paul to write the New Testament books. And he, in other words, he used what we call God breathe. In other words, what he meant by that was he put it into the minds of men. And when we use the word inspired, it's not like what the Bible teaches. As I said, it means God breathe or put into the minds of men. Also, the Holy Spirit has the attribute of volition, in other words, the independence to choose, to make choice. In Acts 16:17, he forbid them to go to, I can't pronounce it, is a place, Bithynia? Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. He forbid them to go there. And we see that Paul was confident that the Holy Spirit would make the right decision. The Holy Spirit has the power of knowing. He has a mind. And it is evidence he has a power of thinking and knowing. And we turn to 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." The Spirit possesses what we call individuality. This is another characteristic of personality. The word individuality includes personality of a particular kind in John 16:7-11, where he talks about the Helper will come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, Individuality is not divided, it is indivisible. It does not think one thing and say another. And individuality also implies personality or characters in John 16:13-15. What is predicted of the Father is predicted of the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Father and Son are life, so is the Holy Ghost. So is the Spirit. God and Christ are life, so is the Spirit. God and the Son are love, so is the Spirit. They all have the same attributes. They are three distinct persons. And yet there's one God, and I do not understand that. Also, we see the Holy Spirit has influence in Luke 24:46-49, where he sends the promise of the Father. He has influenced people to do good things. He has never done evil. He's always done that which is good. And we turn to Acts 6:3. We have an example. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Also, he has the power to love, as in Romans 15:30. Another thing interesting about God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, all the way from Genesis 1-2 to the book of Revelation, talks about these divine beings. Talks about their acting, their influencing, blessing, reconciling, transforming, loving, and glorifying. The Holy Spirit is thus seen as not as a thing or an it, but a glorified person, the Holy Spirit. The attributes are ascribable only to a divine person who has the power to communicate from thought to man. He has the power of speaking, as in 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit saith expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith. The Holy Spirit speaks intelligently to intelligent creatures. These attributes belong only to a person, personality. For the Holy Spirit is a person. In John 15:26, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall bring witness of me. This is a scribe of a person. The Holy Spirit has the power to make intercession, and as in Romans 8:26. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Spirit has the power of searching even the deep things of God. And these things are attributed and ascribed only to a person. The Holy Spirit has the power of forbidding, as in Acts 16:6, where he forbid them to go speak in Asia. Now we see that the Holy Spirit has fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit, as a member of the Godhead, is associated in all divine acts with God and the Word. And such association and relationship necessarily implies in a nature and similarity in attributes. The Holy Spirit associates with God and Christ as a divine being. He's not a mere force or an inanimate thing, but he is a being companionable with God. We notice in Genesis 3, verse 8, we see where man had communion with God in the Garden of Eden. But the Holy Spirit has communion with God because he is God. Before man existed, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see where in the beginning of time that the Holy Spirit had part in material creation and spiritual creation. We do not really study too much about the Holy Spirit or have over the years, but there's a lot of things the Bible clearly teaches. And it's very interesting. Now, God revealed himself, as we know, in nature. We can look around here in the woods and see the beauty of what he has created. But The revelation of God came through Christ, and his fullest revelation we have is the revelation that's made through Christ by the Holy Spirit. And without the Bible, we can know not anything about God or Christ or the Holy Spirit. And the only evidence of what he's done is what we see around us. But without his word, we have nothing. And as I've said before, the Godhead is three distinct individual persons and one God. I cannot understand that. No, I can't. But I accept it as faith. And maybe someday I'll know the answer why it's this way. Now, getting to the last part of the lesson, each member has been given different names over in the Bible. First, we see God. We have where we have, just a second. Just want to check one thing. We have, see, where he's called Lord, Jehovah, Almighty, the Almighty Father, Lord God, Jehovah Hosts, and God of Israel. Now, there's many more names that are given to Jesus Christ. And would you believe there's over 200 different names and titles that are given to Jesus Christ? Now, the Holy Spirit has a lot less fewer names that are given to him. But these names describe his nature, his relationship, his function, his ministry. And these names are such things as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Truth, My Spirit, Spirit of Jehovah, and Holy Ghost, which is an old archaic term, outdated term. And in conclusion of this lesson, the conclusion is, it is inescapable that the Holy Spirit is a being. And it's clearly understood how he works and what he does. Over the years, I've heard many things different about the Holy Spirit, especially from our denominational friends. And a lot of it didn't make sense. And even how he worked, which we could get into that more, that's a different lesson. Tonight, as I offer the invitation for you to become a child of God, you know, you can be baptized into Christ, become a child of God, heir of God, a joint heir of Christ, be raised in newness of life, and live faithful to death. Or if you have fallen away, you can be repent of your sins, confess them, and pray God for forgiveness. But there's one thing I want, there's a couple of things I want to say before I end this lesson completely. That always, and Rick makes me think what I'm fixing to say. This could be your last time to ever have the chance for the invitation. I've cheated death many times, come close to being killed in a car or whatever, a lot of times, cheated death. But there'll be one day I will not cheat death. I will face it. Also, this is the way I look at the whole thing. I want God to forgive me for all my sins, and I want to take somebody to heaven with me. That's what it's all about. Everything on this earth doesn't matter. What you have, who you are, where you are, anything. All I want God to do is forgive my sins and take people to heaven with me. That's all I want. And you may not ever have this chance again. Don't be afraid to come down front or even have somebody read something. Or if you want to be baptized in Christ, we'd be glad to baptize you. But this is what it's all about. Do you want to go to heaven? Because one day it's going to end here. We always seem to think in the back of our mind that, oh, well, I got 10 years more down the road and I'm going to enjoy life. I may be dead tomorrow. I know that sounds morbid. But do you want to go to heaven? This old world is getting uglier day by day. if you see the news all the time, the lying and the corrupted, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And I don't want to live here on this earth way long time. So tonight, there's somebody here that's lost. I don't know who you are. I could be lost. But there's somebody here tonight. If you just want to come down front and confess your sins, just ask God to forgive you for everything, that's fine. We'll be glad to assist you in any way we can. Would you please come as we stand and sing?